Once again, here in the Sunshine State, and we are at the Power Grower Seminar brought to us by Crop Health Laboratories. And Nick Ellis, who is with Norden Agricultural, just got done talking to us about what he has seen or how he has been able to utilize SAP plant analysis in Pennsylvania. First of all, Nick, tell us a little bit about your background and what's led you to be one of our keynote speakers.
Well, I'm an entomologist by training, and when I was in graduate school, I had a lot of exposure to the science and the research behind insect-plant interactions, and I always knew that there was a way to make the theoretical science applicable, and by working with these growers in Pennsylvania through Keystone BioAg, I see an opportunity to do that. So that's one of the things that I really like about the potential of the SAP analysis. That's one of the reasons that I'm really, really pushing to adopt this technology.
Well, you shared some of your initial observations over the course of the past year, which is the first chance that those of us in the U.S. and Canada have been able to utilize this new technology. You talked about four different families, crop families, that you have studied over the course of the last year. And you talked about how crop families have different nutrient profiles, but basically all need the same type of nutrient requirements. Kind of explain that and how that all ties into the SAP analysis.
Well, I'll give you a really good example that's easy to see the difference. All right, in what we call cole crops, which would include cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and kale, they really have a high tolerance for boron. But if you go to a crop like tomatoes, which is called a solanaceous crop, and that family includes tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant, tomato plants don't have a high tolerance for boron, so boron levels in your input and in the soil and anywhere else that is related to the plant management absolutely have to be monitored very closely in the tomato plant. But in the cole crops, if you use a product that has a high component of boron in its blend, for instance, it's not going to be as harmful to them. Another example would be ammonium nitrogen. There are some crops, such as onions, for instance, that can tolerate a lot of ammonium nitrogen feeding, but other crops can't. So When using the SAP analysis, we can look at levels of nutrients like boron or the different forms of nitrogen that the plant can use and get a picture of how our management is, either in the big scale, because we can't always control what we see, or at the scale where we can actually influence the input, like with boron.
Well, let's kind of revisit some of the four crops that you shared with us over the course of the last year. The first one you talked about was broccoli, the emerald crown broccoli. What were your observations with that?
With the emerald crown, now, incidentally, I didn't spend a lot of time in the field with that grower's broccoli, but in a nutshell, he didn't experience any serious disease or insect problems that can sometimes be a problem for cole crop growers in Pennsylvania. And we attribute that to his soil management and to his use of those SAP tests to get a good feel for which nutrients he could manage directly to make those plants meet the challenges that they were facing from pathogens and arthropods. So one of the problems that we often see in Pennsylvania on cole crops is what's called a harlequin bug. Now, whether they infest a crop can be largely dependent on if they're even present, but I've seen other broccoli plants where, with proper nutrition, the insects don't seem to find those plants suitable for a host. And that's important, because we know that we can manage things to get that result.
Well, another one of those cool crops that you discussed was the Romanesco cauliflower. Compare that to the broccoli, and what did you see with that?
One of the big differences between any cauliflower and a broccoli crop is that the broccoli can get to a point where it'll flower, and that can change some of the things you're looking for in the nutrient profiles and the sap test, but a cauliflower plant won't. They're more similar than dissimilar, though, and they can both suffer from nasty bacterial disease like Xanthomonas, which is known as black rot. And one difference, though, let me go back, is that cauliflower plants will often show you a nitrogen deficiency that won't necessarily show up on broccoli. So that doesn't require a sap test. But in terms of how the plants, how their nutrients look, there can be differences in what you see in the field, even though they're in the same family. But it can be subtle sometimes.
Well, you also talked about cherry tomatoes and peaches and completely different types of unrelated crops. What were some of the nutrient dynamics that you were able to define because of this analysis?
That's a good question, and it's one where I can illustrate something very important with the cropping systems we deal with. Tomato plants are what we call annuals. They are replanted every year, sometimes more than once a year. And tree fruit of any kind is what's called a perennial crop. And the way perennials respond to nutrition and the way they utilize nutrients and move them around is completely different from the way annuals do. Even though, as you said yourself, the requirements are the same. But when you're managing nutrients on a peach tree, there are very different considerations than when you're managing nutrients on a tomato plant that's only going to be there for about 8 to 12 weeks. Because that tree will be there for years. And it may have been there for years with a lot of challenges and insults to its vigor before you even started. So you don't get to start from scratch with an orchard that's not doing so well.
Well, let's look into the future. The sap analysis has been utilized just over a year here in the United States. And as we move into 2015, what do you see the next steps for growers, not only in Pennsylvania, but across the country as they begin to utilize this technology?
I see, let's just take two main ones that I see for the growers that I work with that I think any grower can benefit from. First of all, we need to understand these different nutrient profiles in the different cropping systems. And that will entail a lot of sampling in crops where we don't have good information. And that's a huge area where we can really make huge gains in 2015 and move the ball. And then the other area where I'm particularly interested, because I'm an entomologist, is learning how the nutrients in the plants and the inputs are affecting the plant physiology to the extent that it's attractive or not attractive to insects and mites. And I hope to be involved with some of those efforts personally, but that's going to be the next frontier for the sap analysis as I see it.
Well, thank you, Nick. Once again, talking with Dr. Nick Ellis, who is with Norden Agricultural and has worked with Keystone Biolabs or BioAg in Pennsylvania as they've spent the last year observing and utilizing the plant sap analysis. I am here at the Power Grower Seminar with Crop Health Laboratories. I'm Jamie Johansson.